Svetlana Shelokhina. She is our third presenter this morning. She is an associate professor and coordinator of the Russian program at Queens College, City University of New York. She received her MA and PhD from the University of Toronto. Her research interests concentrate on modernism, acmeism, and the avant-garde, and the cultural history of the North Caucasus. After the poetic universe of Nikolai Zabolotsky, that she wrote in 2006 on the poet and translator, she is currently finishing a volume about poet and writer Mikhail Senkevich. She published widely on Russian literature, iconographic culture, and ancient Christianity. She teaches courses covering all levels and aspects of Russian language, literature, culture, and cinema. Welcome, Svetlana.
First of all, of course, I would like to extend my gratitude to the organizers of this conference for inviting me and letting me speak about Zabolotsky, a very famous poet in Russia, but I don't know how much he is known here in the West, particularly in Germany. Hopefully, yes, he is. Secondly, I would like to apologize for my voice, which I lost recently by starting a new school year in New York and flying all over the world from Moscow to New York and back here. but I will try to do my best. So my presentation title is Nikolai Zabolotsky and Nature's Philosophical Poetry and Russian Cosmology. And I would like to begin with his portrait in the years when he was young and when he was in then Leningrad. As you can see, he was born in 1903, the very year Fyodorov had died. So the nature itself kind of continued itself here in the new poet-philosopher. So we shall begin with a small quotation from Zabolotsky, which I all the quotations from him are translated by myself here. I will read in English, and those who can read in Russian can look at the quotations themselves, please. So, joining madness with reason amid barren ideas, we will build a house, a school of worlds unknown until now. Poetry is a thought nestled within a body, from his poem Warning. In the 20th century Russian literature, the fate of Nikolai Alexeyevich Zabolotsky is unique. The phrase risen from the ashes well characterizes a poet who survived imprisonment, exile during Stalin's years, and who later had the strength to return, to make a courageous return to literature. Zabolotsky's nearly 40-year literary career embraces the entire epoch with all its controversies and achievements. From the ABРИУ, Объединение реального искусства, the Union for the Real Art, and the avant-garde movement of the 20s, to the thaw and the end 50s, and from the first decade of the dictatorship of the proletariat to the first official denunciation of the totalitarian regime. His popularity among those who love Russian poetry has been growing steadily, especially within the past decade and a half, crossing the country's boundaries into the West. Zabolotsky, stylistically an original poet and insightful philosopher, expressed his understanding of Naturphilosophie in a poetic idiom. Indeed, throughout his entire literary career, from his first famous book, Stolpcy, or as it is translated in the English columns or scrolls, which appeared in 1929, to the last poema, long poem, Rubruk in Mongolia, Rubruk in Mongolia, in 1958. Zabolotsky was engaged in a continuous search for a solution to the questions of the life and death, man's mission in transforming entire earthly nature, man's place in the universe, and achieving man's immortality. His philosophical ideas reveal the depths of his intellectual concentration and display his vision of various problems concerning Russia and humanity, outlining the views of the physical, spiritual, and social sides of man's existence. These concepts are also known to be central to the major philosophical trend of Russian cosmism, of which Zabolotsky may be considered a representative. Zabolotsky's philosophical anticipations were influenced by Fyodorov, Solovyov, Tsiolkovsky, Vernadsky, as well as Aristotle, Grigory Skovoroda, Suchova Kobylin, and Gorsky, to name a few. And in his insights to comprehend cosmos and man's place in it, Zabolotsky relied upon and developed the philosophical theories in his own original way. His views were developed through three distinctive phases. The central theme of the early phase, 1923 to 29, can be formulated as that of the hero within urban space, and thus forms the urban part of his cosmism. In the middle phase, 1929-1938, it is the hero in the village and earthly nature and in the society, or rural nature cosmism. And his last third phase, 1947-1958, the hero in history, time, and cosmic space. Taken as a whole, these three phases or parts make up a unified body of the Zabolotsky Naturphilosophy, or as it is viewed here, his poetic cosmology. At the core of Zabolotsky philosophy of nature, there is a concept of metamorphosis, constant and endless transformations at the atomic level of the material into spiritual and vice versa. According to his contemporaries, Zabolotsky considered himself a materialistic monist, stressing the unity of the spiritual and material. Here's a quote from Chukovsky. He, Zabolotsky, persistently pronounced himself a materialist and a monist. Under monism, he understood a notion opposite to dualism, and he spoke about dualism with content. He called dualism any opposition of spiritual life to material life, any incomprehension of their similarity or complete unity. Therefore, in speaking about immortality, he absolutely did not mean the existence of a soul outside the body. He insisted that all spiritual and bodily qualities of man are immortal because nothing disappears in nature. It only changes its form. Fyodorov's influence on Zabolotsky is noted in the author's attempts to overcome the imperfections of the world, which are based on the impossibility of overcoming time and space, which depends on the struggle with death. The creation of immortal human beings thus become essential. Victory over time will be attained by man's immortality. The victory over space will be reached through his capacity to endless relocations in space. Abolishing death will eliminate the roots of the main evil on Earth that causes killing, suffering, and competition. Through longer life, there will be the chance to expand cultural, historical, and moral knowledge, and thus to develop man's unique personality. The conversation with the dead ancestors from the famous long poem of Zabolotsky, The Triumph of Agriculture, Торжество земледелия, reflects the implementation of Fyodorov's dreams about the resurrection of all dead. If we have time, I'll speak a little bit about that poem as well. The idea, similar with the one by Vernadsky, as well as the postulate of man's unjust consumption of other creatures, is present also in a number of Zabolotsky poems, such as Columns, The Mad Wolf, The Temptation, The Dinner, and others. A connection between Solovyov, Vladimir Solovyov, and Zabolotsky is seen in the concept of overcoming the sexual barrier, which Solovyov saw as the main way of achieving immortality. Tsiolkovsky. In 1932, Zabolotsky read several pamphlets by Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, which produced an astonishing impression on him. Zabolotsky sent several letters to Tsiolkovsky and received answers and copies of other books from him. In one of these letters, Zabolotsky wrote, "Your thoughts about the future of Earth, of humanity, animals, and plants have affected me profoundly, and they're very close to my own. In my unpublished poems," the poems were not published indeed, "I have attempted to develop them as much as I could." Tsiolkovsky believed that the cosmos was full of different forms of life, but that only atom was immortal, and man, as a state of atoms, государство атомов, should also be immortal. Therefore, immortality for Zabolotsky had a materialistic basis, and this differentiated his theory from the religious ideas of Fyodorov and Solovyov. However, for Tsiolkovsky, atomic immortality is far more important than that of the individual human being, while for Zabolotsky, as for Fyodorov, each human being is precious. Sukhova Kobylin, now almost forgotten dramatist and playwright and philosopher, Zabolotsky's ideas also sound in unison with the certain postulates of his theory of the whole world, Учение Всемира, created by Сухова Кобылин. Сухова Кобылин dreamed of humanity, that the humanity will be recreated into the perfect people of Всемир by the way of the power of intellect. Furthermore, the postulates of Zabolotsky philosophical poetry display the affinity with Alexander Gorsky's theory of art as reflection of internal erotic processes. According to Gorsky, art is a specific form of a dream of a new, expanded, and internal body, eternal body, and this is one of the Zabolotsky's main ideas. How the world changes and how I am changing, only my name is the same. In reality, something which is called me is not me. There are many of us. The one alive is me, so that my blood does not have time to cool. I have died many times. Oh, how many dead bodies I have separated from my own. This is the poem which is called Immortality. It was written in 1937. In fact, there were two poems by the same title, and that is a later one. Now, of course, my translation is not rhymed. I'm just trying to reflect what is written by Zabolotsky. It sounds quite different in Russian, and those who can read in Russian can enjoy it as well. If in columns there is an abundant eroticism, sexuality is referred to in a negative way and grotesque manner. In the later poetry of Zabolotsky, this attitude changes to philosophical. Zabolotsky started seeing the subject from different perspectives and on a much broader scale as a part of nature's metamorphosis and the projection of cosmic, universal processes. His following statements serve as an illustration of a connection of his vision of a man's place in solar system with the theories of Russian cosmists. Okay. This one. Take a look at the interesting drawing in this book, at the description of the spherical conglomerations of the surface of the Milky Way. Do you see that these dots form the shape of a human figure? And the sun is in its center, is not in its center, but on the sexual organ. The earth is like the seed of the universe. This quotation is presented in the book by Nikita Zabolotsky, the son of Nikolai Zabolotsky. The book was published in 1995. In Zabolotsky's understanding, nature is a unity of the living and dead forms of matter, whose development springs from prehistoric chaos and leads to a harmonious unity of all elements. The leading role in this process belonged to man as a bearer of consciousness of nature. As the highest stage of nature's development, man has to take responsibility for nature's transformation in accordance with the laws and not against them. Nature counts on man and relies upon his intellect. Thus, a central image in many of Zabolotsky's works, that of a column, is his poetic metaphor for man as ultimate support of nature. Moreover, his transparent columns, a metaphor for that transfigured man, and his soul after his death can be interpreted as Zabolotsky poetic implementation of Tsiolkovsky's hypothesis of progressive recombination of atoms in nature. Recognizing the leading role of man's intellect, Zabolotsky believes that consciousness also exists in nature and can theoretically be traced through the ability of natural objects to reflect and to be reflected. Natural consciousness is able to move in time, and natural objects possess the motion of thought and the strength of will. The world of nature is a world of endless metamorphosis, and within this metamorphosis, natural consciousness is born. Their interaction is often antagonistic, that of, quote, perfect creation, unquote, совершенное творение, and, quote, the eternal wine press, unquote, вековечная давильня, according to Zabolotsky. Solving these contradictions leads to the liberation of the human mind and ultimately to man's immortality. Columns, a couple of words about his first book, Stolpcy, Columns. Sometimes it is translated as scrolls as well. Zabolotsky's first and most famous book marks the beginning of philosophical development of the poet. In accordance with his own reference, the title is often applied generically to his entire early poetry of the 1920s. Literally meaning small columns or pillars, this word may be viewed as an author's critical metaphor for the immature thoughts that with the time become the grand columns or the stolby of his later mature thoughts. The growth of stolpcy into stolby, a specific metamorphosis in itself, marks the continuity of Zabolotsky poetry and implies the long argued semantic, poetic, and philosophical unity of his early and later poetry, now universally recognized. Traces of columns, including similar lines and common poetic devices, although significantly reduced and at times almost undetectable, reappear in his subsequent poetry, including his last long poem, Rubruk in Mongolia. Conflict between the individual and society forms the semantic center of columns, whose title somewhat contradicts with its content. Accepting such contradictions as a primary condition for development, Zabolotsky adopts a Hegelian approach, providing to be a dedicated true philosopher no less than a true poet. Contradictions literally penetrate the book's space, beginning with its title. Metamorphosis underlines the interaction between the book's lyrical hero and its author, and whether or not the two can be totally equated remains a conundrum. First of all, the book protagonist is not identified. Secondly, in its personas are variously masked, but at the same time, they are united only by the presence of the former. The protagonist is a social outsider, a stranger in the city, not understood by others, and excluded from the common celebration. Quote, there is no doubt the world is closed off, and only slopes splash out to where the idol of wisdom is. It's the first immortality. The book's central idea of fighting is injustice and the continuous displayed and satirizing of vulgarity, poshness, of Neb daily life leaves no doubt about protagonist's position. The most important for our understanding of columns is the degree of authorial presence, however. In this connection, the question of the book's protagonist and his relationship with the author remains highly important, yet intriguing. One of the central characters, the infant, Mladenets, possesses quite an ambiguous nature. He is both, quote, premature baby or angel, unquote, недоносок или ангел. This opposition initiates a search to decipher both his identity and the connection between him and the author with the other heroes. And throughout the rest of the book, Zabolotsky intentionally conceals these tracks and provides no easy clues. The infant and his transformations or doubles, whether sentry, Komsomol activist, chicken, or just as frequently a nameless protagonist, feature in almost every one of the book's poems. He appears in various situations. He makes, literally composes porridge out of blue semolina grains, a satirical likeness to the immature author's process of poetry writing. Like the prostitutes, девки, who hang upside down on the corners, the freak infant hangs upside down in a container with alcohol. is suspended in a jar of alcohol in his bagging to be taken out to the skies. He is the chief medium for the display of the author's negative attitude to NEP society. And at the same time, as a Komsomol activist who supposedly should be pictured as a positive character, a symbol of revolution, he is instead referred to as an immature, lustful male. But a far more obvious connection exists between the infant and the sentry. Knowing from the poem, the sentry, that the poem Sentry was composed by Zabolotsky when he was on guard duty, his self-reference in columns become obvious textual proof of the author's self-portrayal. On the other hand, there are also very meaningful positive portrayals of the infant as the infant world, Mladenets Mir, and the infant bread, Mladenets Hleb. The infant bread, which pronounces a word, quote unquote, something that the poet does, and which is an explanation of the second part of the opposition of the premature baby or the angel, thus become another of the author's incarnations and the result of metamorphoses which have occurred in the books, in the book with its protagonist. By displaying these complex transformations of freak infant from the dead museum specimen into the living soldier, the infant bread, the infant world, and then into the author, Zabolotsky conveys his major idea. Metamorphosis, an inseparable part of nature, are also one of his own qualities. In the light of this, his own dream to liberate himself not only from the prison of the city, but also from the imperfect human shell, and subsequently from the cage of the earth, becomes his ultimate goal. Like the city, the earthly nature, according to Zabolotsky, is an elevated prison, quote-unquote, высокая тюрьма, a disharmonious place for man's existence. And that this future works, as his future works will display, Zabolotsky poetic hero will break free of this cage by stepping out into the universe and watching over metamorphosis take place in the outer cosmos. For Zabolotsky, thus, the artistic creativity is nothing less than a subconscious desire to liberate himself from his imperfect body, from which is profoundly expressed in his poetry. And with this, I just wanted you to show an illustration, which I think very well reflects the very essence of Zabolotsky's first book, The Columns, specifically with the baby appearing out of the shell of the earth into the open cosmos. This is the picture by a contemporary Canadian artist, Robert Pasternak, which he allowed me to use in this presentation, and which I liked a lot, and it's called The Birth, Robert Pasternak. As we have seen, starting with the columns, Zabolotsky began collecting proof of his personal capacity for metamorphosis, viewing his poetry as an example of transformations of the material into the ideal, and vice versa. One of Zabolotsky's principles from his youth was that of the objectivity, предметность, the physical, almost palpable reality of his characters, and imagery is striking. The physical, Therefore, it is no surprise that the poet needed more than pure philosophical evidence for his hypothesis. For instance, his ability he perceived as a revelation, as his own unique quality. I'll just scroll back a little bit. Would you even be able to explain to me where these strange images of thoughts come from the questions to the sea? The poet asks an unknown addressee, convinced that he alone is able to provide the answer. These strange images of thoughts, not just strange thoughts, and his proof of thoughts materialized. He himself is able to accomplish the most superior transformation, the translation of the material into the ideal. To write into my little book, my daily impressions. That's quotation from him. And the ideal into the material. But I, A monotonous man took a gleaming pipe into my mouth, blew, and the words, obeying my breath, flew into the world, becoming the objects. It's not here, sorry. Thus, it is the art of writing poetry that becomes Zabolotsky's ultimate proof of metamorphosis. The perception of a personal exclusive ability to do so combines with the recognition of his own high mission as a poet, making him a unique personality in his own eyes and in ours as his disciples. The next poem that I'm going to speak about is the famous long poem, poema, The Triumph of Agriculture. In his several longer nature philosophy poems of the 1930s, including this poem, The Triumph of Agriculture, as well as The Mad Wolf, Безумный Волк, The Birds, Птицы, The Trees, Деревья, and others, Zabolotsky continued to assemble his philosophical construction, forming the second rural link in his cosmological chain. The Triumph of Agriculture is a complex and dark work. This is a quote from Yefim Etkin, his verdict to this poem, and its philosophical ideas. It may be applied equally to its literary destiny and to the impact it had made on Zabolotsky's life. Its publication in 1933 caused immediate suspicion of possible satirical and politically incorrect implications. The poem was full of literary devices, including those of the avant-garde which were already unacceptable at that time, such as unusual presentation of the ideas of collectivization, grotesque elements in the depiction of a soldier as a representative of the authorities, the granting of human qualities to animals, contemplation of the subject of the soul's existence, and other topics. The critics wrecked it immediately, of course, dubbing it as, quote, an open challenge to collectivization, a vicious caricature of socialism, a lampoon of collectivization, unquote. But most importantly, the poem was used as one of the formal reasons for Zabolotsky's arrest, imprisonment, and exile for 8 years. In reality, in these poems, Zabolotsky's main idea was the reconciliation between man and nature. Man is referred here to as a nature's mind, as its self-awareness responsible for the liberation of the animals and plants. In his quest, he is to follow the wise laws of nature. The mission of the human intellect is the perfection of social laws and establishment of just relations with the natural world. Humans, animals, and other objects of living and dead nature inhabit this universe, interacting within the social context. Animals' intellectual and social liberation and their equality with man become one of the poem's key themes. A close affinity of Zabolotsky's idea with those of Сухого Кобылин is particularly well seen in another poem, which is called The Ночные Беседы, Nocturnal Conversations, which was the initial phase of the Triumph of Agriculture. The tree, a metaphor for man in Zabolotsky's works, is transforming itself into bodily souls, into the spirits of animals, into the souls of humans, reminding us of Сухого Кобылин's People of Simir. If Сухого Кобылин stands for a very strict natural choice in which primitive tribes with lower intellectual capacities will be swept away by evolution, then only the best representatives of human race will remain to live and develop to the stage of Simir, Zabolotsky broadens his ideas by portraying the transformations of plants, stones, and animals as intellectual beings into some other, even more intellectual entities, thus making them equal and even superior to the earthly humans. Unlike columns, which consist of monologic grotesque portrayals, still lifes, and self-contained sketches, the vista of the Triumph of Agriculture opens us through dialogues between the humans, both living and dead, and the animals. These dialogues draw the reader into philosophical discussions in which the characters contemplate and argue about the primary philosophical question the relationship between the material and the ideal. Finally, we are approaching the second long poem, which is called Безумный волк, The Mad Wolf. Plants and animals here interact on equal terms with the man. The mad wolf is a lonely dreamer who challenges the laws of the old forest, the society he lives in. He is a creative personality who finds himself in a state of constant philosophical questing. And then, like all the other animals, his sight is directed not towards the ground, but upwards to the skies. And he says, "The beam of my eyesight is directed straight to the skies," quote unquote. His ultimate dream is to fly freely as a bird and to reach the star Chigir and to find out the size of the universe. The mad wolf is curious by animals. Why animals do not have straight necks like people? He wishes his neck to be straightened in order to be able to watch the fathomless universe and to decipher its mysteries. He uses a special machine tool to do this, despite the physical torments that it causes. Zabolotsky's own prototype, the mad wolf, believes in the unity of nature and tries to prove his unity, this unity in his own experiments. Thus, breathing air, his own spirit, quote unquote, into the plant through a pipe, he watches how a head, hands, and legs grow, and how finally a little dog appears out of it, собачка. In this way, he transmits his own particles to the animated plant. Another experiment involves turning a birch tree into a camel, but it is not as successful as a previous experiment and shakes the wolf's belief in his ability to solve the spooky mysteries of nature, quote unquote. He even tries to grow a tree out of himself. And he digs himself into the ground and remains in that position without any food for 2 weeks, but is unable to become a tree. The wolf realizes that the creation of living object is not merely a transmission of particles, but something mysterious, sacred, and inaccessible to man. Even the most devoted dreamers are incapable of doing what nature can do. Having enriched himself with practical knowledge, the mad wolf believes he possesses something that others do not know. I understand the... previous one. He who saw the stars, he who was able to speak with the plant, who understood the terrifying accord of thoughts, he does not fear death, and he does not fear earth. These words are Zabolotsky's own declaration about himself as a philosopher who has contrived to learn nature's most important law. He believes that every creature of nature contains the same atoms and is repeated in another creature or object, only in a different way. This idea is ascribed to Mad Wolf. I understand the atmosphere. My entire belly will be blown up with air as a balloon. The pressure of my hands will not give in to space. The strength of the will shall defeat the air. This belief leads to the mad wolf to his final decisive act, flight and death. Although the wolf foresees these tragic prospects, this does not prevent him from accomplishing his dream. A puny beast, a worm in scabby skin, a forest tramp wearing an idiotic cone hat. I am the czar of the earth. I am a gladiator of spirit. I am a harpagon who was lifted to the skies. All right, so we just 2 words about Rubruk in Mongolia, the last poem of Zabolotsky, which was completed in 1958, which I would say forms a completion of Zabolotsky's triliteral philosophic structure with the historical cosmism. In Rubruk observes the celestial bodies, a very important part of it. Zabolotsky expresses the idea of interdependence between the earthly and the cosmic. The earth is merely a clump of heavens and maybe even the best clump. He touches upon the concept of God manhood by giving Rub Ruk, a French missionary to Mongolia, as his own prototype, an opportunity to literally receive revelations from the skies. The author thus hints at his own personal exclusiveness, which allows him to receive revelation and thereby fathom the secret of nature. So my conclusions would be that in the works of the 1920s and 1930s, Zabolotsky understood metamorphosis as an endless series of mutual transformations of dead and living nature. Or of the material and the ideal. And in the 1950s, in his Rub Ruk in Mongolia, this vision acquires an almost religious resonance. This is how Zabolotsky forms the third historical and the last part of his own philosophy of nature, adding his input to the philosophical doctrine of God-manhood in particular and to 20th century Russian cosmology in general, with the exception that for him, God is nature. That would be, again, Robert Pasternak's illustration to Zabolotsky, Rub Ruk in Mongolia, his vision of historical or cosmic history, human history from cosmic perspectives. And that one is called The 25th Night, and you can elaborate yourself on the title, if you wish. And this is Zabolotsky in 1958. Thank you very much.